Good morning. I'm Christopher Purdy. Delighted to welcome you all to All Sides Weekend. Today we talk about the arts with a little bit of a twist. We are going to talk about making the arts accessible to those with physical or emotional challenges or both. There is a big movement for this, and Columbus has really been in the forefront in the last couple of years of really making sure that everybody who can benefit or can enjoy an arts performance gets to attend one. We'll be talking with Toni Johnson in a bit. She is the Director of Marketing and Communications for the Columbus Children's Theater. They, as in many other respects, are at the forefront of this work, and we'll hear from that in a bit. But I want to begin our conversation with my friend Erin Hoppe, who is the Executive Director of VSA Ohio, which I think I have permission to say was once known as Very Special Arts Ohio, just so everybody's clear. Just, Erin, give us a little precis about what VSA was, where it began.
Of course. VSA Ohio is part of an international network of VSA affiliates who are doing work at the intersection of arts and education and disability. We were founded by Ambassador Jean Kennedy Smith back in the late 70s, and we had the first Very Special Arts Ohio Festival in Dayton. And then in the early 80s, we formed as a nonprofit and have been a statewide service organization ever since, trying to make the arts and arts education more accessible.
So the parallel might be to the Special Olympics, which
yes.
the Kennedy family was very active in as well.
So this very is, passionate
this
about
is
equality.
The Special Olympics for the arts.
Yes,
right.
It is.
You have several programs making accessibility, one the Accessible Expressions mm-hmm. and then the Young Soloists. Give us a little rundown of what goes on.
Sure. Well, one of the ways that we work to engage the community is to have calls for art. So these are calls for art that are specifically for individuals with disabilities. The Accessible Expressions Ohio is a visual art exhibit. It's open to all ages, all disabilities, all around the state. So this year we just selected 75 pieces of artwork that will be on display for an opening ceremony at the Westerville Community Center on March 8th with a big awards ceremony, etc. And then that show breaks into smaller groups and goes on tour around the state in order to raise awareness about arts and disability, to demonstrate that regardless of quote-unquote ability, really fantastic art can be made and is expressed and makes a difference in people's lives.
That is for the visual arts. Now, the performing
yes.
arts, you also have an arm for that. Before you explain that, when we talk about the challenged, that community, mm-hmm. are there specifics about what we're talking about?
Well, for VSA Ohio, we are disability-wide. So we cross physical, mental, emotional, recovering, any sort of disability, whether you can see it or whether it's a hidden disability. Our organization is one of the few, I think, that crosses disability. Many are specific for autism or things like that. But we work with all disabilities. So it could be a visual impairment. It could be a developmental disability. It could be somebody who was became a quadriplegic. We have a great artist up in Cleveland doing work, digital artwork. And so it's all disabilities.
There was one young woman who was part of your program who was a singer, and she was blind. And I think she was 16 when I met her. And she said something that always resonated with me. I can do anything you can do. I just can't see. That's it.
That's correct. And that's a lot of the message that we try to carry, too, is that it's really sort of our society and ourselves as individuals and communities that it's really just very small adaptations a lot of the time that people with disabilities need to be fully included or to have access to art making or arts enjoyment and patronage. If you think about the way that it makes a difference in your life every day, the arts, it does for everyone, regardless of race, religion, ethnicity, ability, disability. And so you're quite right that people with quote-unquote disabilities really can do anything if they're given a few accommodations or somebody is there to help them. Certainly there are a lot of barriers for people with disabilities, transportation, money, things like that. The unemployment rate for people with disabilities is about twice as high.
Also, it's interesting. I wonder when it occurred to us as a society that we were ignoring a resource. in that community?
Sure. Well, the Americans with Disabilities Act is coming up on its 25th anniversary.
Oh, that's a good answer.
In 2015. Yep. And we have come a very long way in terms of legal requirements for equality and access and inclusion since that passed. But it's like all fights for equality, it's an ongoing struggle. And there are more more things that need to be done, perceptions to change. I think that's a big barrier, the perceptions that are out there.
You mentioned a young man who I think I heard him with you a couple of years ago, who was an opera singer, and he was a cancer survivor who still was battling it. And you told, what did you just tell me off mic?
Yeah, Brian Michael Moore is originally from Cincinnati, and he is actually in school in New York, pursuing a professional career as an opera singer. He was our young soloist last year, first place, and he actually went on to win the VSA International competition and then was then able to perform in May at the Kennedy Center on one of their
stages.
So there. Yeah, so there. And he blew everyone away. I mean, he's really amazing.
I'm talking with Aaron Hoppe, who is the executive director of VSA Ohio, which serves the entire state. I want to make that clear, right?
That is correct.
Does that involve you traveling a lot?
I do get to travel. I get to see a good bit of our state and amazing things that are happening all over. A lot of our statewide activities are our arts education residencies. So we go into schools and do arts integrated experiences with teaching artists and teachers into classrooms that are inclusive of people with disabilities, or students with disabilities. So we get to go, we're in about 23 different schools this year doing residencies that are up to 80 hours, so really long-term engagement. We all know that engagement with the arts, you know, the longer the better.
It's lifelong, sure.
Right, sure. Yeah. So we do that. We have different just groups that we are a lot about facilitating connections, whether that be with resources or opportunities or peers. However we can, we'll get a random call that says, hey, what's going on in Lancaster, Ohio? And we can direct them to Art and Clay on Main, which is serving artists with disabilities, things like that.
So I'm a parent or I'm an artist and I may be in a wheelchair, I may be deaf, I may have some kind of disability, and I get in touch with you and I say, I want to work mm-hmm. in what I love. Mm-hmm. What will you do for me?
For individuals who are looking to pursue a creative career, certainly for all artists, there are a lot of barriers just to being an artist. And so for people with disabilities, there's a few more. Back in 2005, we partnered with the Ohio Arts Council and some other agencies, Ohio Developmental Disabilities Council, to develop a Careers in the Arts resource workbook. So we can give them about a 90-page resource workbook on how to assess yourself and get started, how to make a portfolio, just the basics to how to market your artwork on. We do workshops throughout the year on specific trainings, on getting the word out about your art or master artists. We would probably try to direct them to a local Bureau of Vocational Rehabilitation or, you know, depending on where they are, who we know, we will do technical assistance.
What if somebody was discriminated against because of their handicap? Somebody didn't get an opportunity that they had earned for themselves.
Sure.
Are you part of legal advocacy? Can you help with that? If I called you and say they won't give me a job because I'm in a wheelchair?
Well, that would be horrible. And unfortunately,
well, we know
it probably
happens.
Does happen.
Yeah.
Sure. I would direct somebody to the Disability Rights Ohio now.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
We don't do official legal work, but being able to send them to that organization.
And talk a little bit more, if you will, because I want to get Tony Johnson from the Columbus Children's Theater. I've got a lot of things going on in my head right now. I want to get Tony and the Children's Theater involved in the conversation in a bit. But tell me about the young soloists.
Well, sure, certainly. The Young Soloists is actually a program of VSA International. So they've been doing this program for decades now, a couple of decades now, I think. So we put out a call for art for musicians 25 and under. They can be an individual musician. They can be part of a duet or a trio or a group, as long as somebody in that group has a disability. And they submit their best performances, and we do an adjudication and pick a winner, and then we promote them as best we can. And it's whether or not an artist, certainly it's always great to be entered, but for a lot of artists, the practice of entering a competition or entering a call for art
getting
is really
good. Getting up to perform,
right,
or to paint, or to create.
Mm-hmm.
Getting up to create in front of people might be new to a lot of people who otherwise would have been out there doing it,
mm-hmm.
but for some kind of handicap.
Right.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Tell me, how the state of Ohio ranks in your organization's head as being adaptable, as being a good place to do this work.
I think that Ohio is...
And tell the truth.
No, I'm a Californian native, yes. And I love Ohio with a passion, and I think that Ohio is doing some really fantastic work. We have some great leaders, local, regionally, and statewide, who... this is that window, that policy window, that there's a real energy around making the arts accessible and thinking about accessibility and equality beyond certainly low income and things like that.
There's a wide gamut, which might not be helpful for you because it's hard to focus, but I would think there's a very wide range of disability and accessibility problems. Yeah,
certainly. And cultural institutions, that's, you know, certainly something to consider, is that we'll work with cultural institutions to try to give them tips as well and how they can make themselves more accessible. But certainly what a patron with a visual impairment needs is different than what somebody who's on the autism spectrum needs. And some of those accommodations overlap at different times, but it does make a difference. Yeah.
And we do have a thriving arts community in the state of Ohio, certainly, that goes back 150 years for Cincinnati and Cleveland, certainly. But here in Columbus, because that's my focus, it seems very vibrant to me and kind of young-driven, you know, kind of, it's getting hip.
Sure.
It's getting cutting edge, getting hip,
yeah.
It's getting like that, right. So do you then partner, if I run a chamber music series, could I partner with you or work in tandem with you to get everybody who wants to come into the theater or get me to go to them?
Sure, we'd be happy to.
And you would do what?
Well, we would meet with you. We could talk about different things that an institution can do. Do you have somebody on your planning committee who has a disability, who can give you the value and the insight and first-person narrative of the disability experience? Is your website accessible? Are your frontline staff, are your security guards and docents trained?
Things you don't think about.
Right.
That we'd have to ask you, really. That's a very good point.
Right.
Where's the restroom? Is
right.
the restroom accessible?
Are these signs a big enough font? And really, not even just people with disabilities benefit from these types of accommodations, but, you know, street cuts on corners were first, I think, created because of mothers in wheelchairs is the legend that I've heard. But lots of accommodations benefit a lot of different people. Maybe you're having, maybe you forgot your glasses that day. And so it's actually quite helpful to have a large font brochure or signage.
And again, as you're talking, I'm sitting here and the wheels are turning. There are things that one would never think of unless you were. So anybody who wants to... really make sure that everybody who wants to come to your performances gets there needs to talk to VSA Ohio and Aaron Hoppe.
That's right.
I don't mean to overwhelm you, but let's, you know.
No, please call. That keeps us in business.
Less is not more, more is more. I'm Christopher Purdy, and this is All Sides Weekend for the Arts. We are talking about accessibility in the arts. We'll be joined later by Marco from Crosswood Cinemas up in near the Josephinum. They are doing special screenings for autistic children. And in just a moment, we're going to talk with Tony Johnson of the Columbus Children's Theater about sensory-friendly performances. We'll be back after a quick break. Thank you, Amy Jurevich. I'm Christopher Purdy. We're going to talk now with Tony Johnson, who is the Director of Marketing and Communication for the Columbus Children's Theater. And I met Tony at a VCA event last fall. She was brand new in her job then. Now she's more seasoned. And the Columbus Children's Theater has begun sensory-friendly performances. Welcome, Tony Johnson.
Thank you for inviting me as a guest today. Aaron, you are great. Very great. Well, first of all, I am the Director of Development and Marketing. at the Columbus
Tuesday. Sorry about that.
No, okay. It's okay. And I'm so excited about our sensory-friendly performances. This is our third season. As a matter of fact, our first show is scheduled for this Sunday, January the 12th at 5 o'clock p.m. at our theater, which is located at 512 Park Street, right in the Short North District.
Right by the market, isn't it?
Absolutely, right next to Bar Louie.
Right.
And
let me just add, when you say sensory friendly, what does that mean for the Columbus Children's Theater and who would come to these performances?
Sensory friendly performances, actually, it was inspired by a parent that attended one of our shows a couple of years ago. She has a child on the spectrum. And she approached our artistic director and she said, you know, I think this is great, but you guys should consider maybe doing sensory-friendly performances so that you could adapt the ambiance of the theater for children with special needs or on the spectrum.
Autistic spectrum.
Absolutely.
Right.
So that was inspired, again, by a parent. And as I mentioned earlier, this is our third season. What we're very excited about this year is we've got some great partners. Columbus Children's Theater, we've partnered with Nationwide Children's Hospital, their Autism Network, Autism Speaks, Autism Society of Central Ohio, of course, VSA, Living Beyond Autism, NBC4.
But so I bring a child. I have a child who is frightened of bright lights, big city, frightened of noise. They have these sensory issues, and I suspect there are more and more such children getting around. I would bring that child to one of your shows because.
Because we've adapted the lighting so that it won't be so startling. We've adapted the sound. Basically, we didn't have to modify our performance as much, but it's basically
the presentation.
Exactly. Creating an ambiance that's not too overwhelming. We also have provided a quiet lobby area in case a child becomes overstimulated or they need to take a break. They can come out into our lobby and it's quiet and relaxing. So we've been working with Children's Hospital to make sure that we do everything that we can to make it a good experience, not only for the child, but for the parent. And we also understand that this audience or this the community, it might take, for example, a child on the spectrum. They might only be able to accept it for 15 minutes. It's about training and structure. You know, in the autism world, everything is about structure and repetition. And so
that's their comfort zone.
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
So it might take the first time 15 minutes, but then the second time it might go to 20 minutes. And we understand this. So also, I want to also mention, too, that we want parents to feel comfortable. There's no wrong or right thing to do. They don't have to worry about if the child is disruptive. It's okay.
You know, I really want to thank you for that because having been in that position myself, I mean, you wonder, is there going to be a freak out? Is there going to be a disruption for everybody else? And it's very nerve-wracking as a parent, as much as you love them and as much as you want to give them this. So if you can tell the parents up front, no problem.
No problem. Okay. Don't worry about it.
All right.
We understand. That's why we've created the ambiance for it. And again, we're learning more. We want anyone that attends this Sunday to give us some feedback. Our goal is, short term, is not only to have the audience, children on the spectrum or with sensory sensitive needs, to be in the audience, but to participate by in the production.
Really?
Behind the scenes, acting.
They'd love that. That's perfect.
Oh, yeah. Our goal is to be one of the leading organizations to really cater to this demographic.
Tell me, first of all, let me invite people to call and join the conversation. 292-8513 if you'd like to talk with Aaron Hoppe from VSA Ohio and Tony Johnson from the Columbus Children's Theater. We're talking about sensory-friendly performances and arts accessibility throughout Central Ohio. 292-8513 or send an email to allsides@wosu.org. Just set up for me, for people who don't know the Columbus Children's Theater, just give me a little general background of the organization.
Well, We're celebrating our 50 years. We opened back in 1963. We started off as the Columbus Junior League, and eventually we grew. We started off with just 4 performances. Now we do 10 performances all year. Our core programs is our theater series, and again, we do 10 theater series all year round. Then we have our academy. We have satellite offices throughout Central Ohio. And then we have our touring company, our professional touring company. We tour over 250 schools throughout Ohio. So we are growing. We are growing. And again, we believe that every child, whether they have a disability, every child should have access to the arts, and we want to be an organization and a venue that can offer that.
You never know what's going to turn the lights on. You know, for someone who's experiencing something for the very first time.
Absolutely.
You never know. That could be the next great playwright, and
it
happens, certainly. The other thing that I liked is that you allow the kids to move.
Absolutely.
Because it's very hard for any child, but certainly for our kids, to sit, you know, silently for an hour in a dark room. Can't do it.
As a matter of fact, one of the things that we're offering is we have communication cards that Children's Hospital created for us. Let's say, for example, a child that is nonverbal, we have cards that say, I need a break, I want to go home, I need to go to the restroom. We want to do everything to make it, again, a great experience for the family as well as the child.
Tell me about the actors, the actual performances, because if they're not used to this, I'm sure you have to prepare them.
They've been trained. As a matter of fact, we had a training yesterday, and basically there's not that much modification. Let's just say if a child in the audience abruptly shouts out, the actor knows how to handle it. And we, in our performances, there's a lot of audience participation.
Right.
So we encourage that. But we will let the audience know, the parents, in a minute, there's going to be a loud sound.
Really? That's
good too. Yeah, we kind of prompt it. Mm-hmm. But we also have something online so that people can know and the child can know what to expect when they go to the Columbus Children's Theater. This is where the theater is located. This is the restroom. This is the lobby. It's on our website, and that's a really good piece so that people can be familiar with the theater before they arrive.
You can't ask for a better location from your theater.
Right
behind the North Market on Park. It's been there. How many seats do you have?
In our theater, we have 177 seats.
Great. And mostly filled with children.
Yes. In this particular case, we're going to have limited seating so that the children have enough room to move around. So about 150 seats that we want to fill so that there's space to move around.
We're talking with Tony Johnson, who is the Director of Development and Marketing for the Columbus Children's Theater, and we're talking with Erin Hoppe, who is the Executive Director of VSA Ohio. I'm Christopher Purdy. Here's an email from Joanne. She writes, the Granville Public Library offered sensory-friendly sessions for its model train exhibit this year. During the annual Candlelight Walking Tour, the sessions had less lights, music, and videos so kids with sensory issues and their families could attend. This was very well received. Many families came who would not normally be able to attend. Bingo, right? There it is.
Absolutely.
There it is. Erin, when you have a development like this, a sensory-friendly performances, are you part of making people aware of these performances for other organizations?
Sure, we certainly try.
Okay.
You know, we'll promote it on social media. We'll promote it in our newsletters. If anybody were to call us and ask, we'll certainly do that. A couple of things as you were talking. You know, I think, this is an incredible model of a program that other theaters, you know, a lot of in the arts, there's a lot of sharing of ideas. And I think that's really essential to survival in the arts and culture is not competing and learning from each other. And so
it's a
I
hard
think that
mind shift.
It
but
is.
It did happen.
It is. Yeah. There is funding competition, certainly, but for a theater in, you know, Akron, Ohio, who's interested, I mean, you're certainly an incredible resource for them that they could then, you know, if somebody came to us, well, we're interested in doing this, well, we can say, well, talk to the Columbus Children's Theater. They're doing a great job. And for cultural institutions who hesitate on this, hesitate on accessibility or exploring something like this, the comment from your emailer is perfect. I mean, this is a market. This is an audience that cultural institutions need to tap. There are returns on these investments. It's very rare that somebody with a disability will come by themselves. So if you're attracting, you know, the young person with autism, well, they're going to bring 1 to 2 family members and a brother or sister. Somebody with a visual impairment probably is going to come with a guide. You know, it's not just, well, we're spending all this money on different signage or, you know, time. There's a market and there's an audience for this.
We're not doing this to be nice guys, just per well, that, yeah. Well, there is that, but yeah.
As an economist at heart, you know, it is important for cultural institutions to build audiences.
Do you see a movement going on statewide, because your ear is to the state ground, of more people doing this in Akron and Toledo and Canton and wherever?
Sure, yeah. We're certainly, we learn about them as people tell us and as we hear about them. But something that, you know, is connecting both of us right now and all of us, this autism theme, is that we've been partnering with the Ohio Arts Council, which is our state agency, public funder of the arts and culture statewide, and making the arts accessible for those on the autism spectrum is a huge priority for them right now. So we're working with them to see how they can work to make the arts more accessible. So you were part of a research process this past summer, the Arts and Autism in Ohio Initiative. And I think that kind of leadership and things that come out of it and getting people together and talking, certainly this is autism is a hot button issue right now and is a good way to crack the door, but it leads to all kinds of access issues.
Right. There are, you know, let's make the point that there are other brain-based disabilities besides autism, that people will need the extra help. So everybody has an organization, you know, mm-hmm. everybody has a marketing or a lobbying organization. So I would think that there's all kinds of different ways to adapt. And one word you both have said is very, very important: adaptability, which is something the arts had to learn. It's not an automatic response in the arts, but I think now it's a big part of that. What kind of adaptations would you think maybe a symphony concert or a ballet presentation or something might have to make? And do you find a willingness to do that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
Just like we're making the adaptations with the lighting and the sound, it's real easy. And again, I find that more organizations are, it's growing, they understand the need, and I just see that Columbus is going to be one of the cities that's thriving in accessibility for children, not only children on the spectrum, but special needs.
I do have to salute, as you already have, the Ohio Arts Council and the Greater Columbus Arts Council. Sure. They've both been very active in accessibility issues and really making sure that people who are, after all, paying taxes, that their kids are included too. And
absolutely,
everybody else gets in there. Our number is 292-8513 if you'd like to join the conversation. The area code, of course, 614. You can also send an email, as people have been doing, to allsides@wosu.org. If you have a question about accessibility for your child, or you want to know more, or you've had an experience pro or con, let us know that. We'd like to have that as part of the conversation. 292-8513. Tony Johnson is here from the Columbus Children's Theater. They are in their third season now of sensory-friendly performances, and they've got one this Sunday, right? What
time? Absolutely. It's at 5 o'clock p.m. It's The Princess and the Pea.
Well, maybe I'll come. Maybe
I think you
me.
Should.
Okay, we'll come. All right. And Erin Hoppe from VSA Ohio is here as well. You are sort of the mother of us all. You do you cover every base. You are there to help, encourage, and really hold hands with any kind of organization that wants to get into this. And you've also made the point, which is very, very important, that this is a new market. Okay, we're not completely altruistic. We're mostly altruistic. But come on, this. And right. It's only growing, right, as diagnoses change?
Right.
How many now, Tony? In terms of your performances, how many do you do for the season? How many, you know, maybe 5%, 10% of your shows, or
well, this year, which is our third season, we've added a third show. The next performance will be Hansel and Gretel. That's going to be in April, and then the last one will be the Frog Princes. And that's going to be the Frog Prince, excuse me. That's going to be in June. Our goal is to actually grow and have more performances. So that's what we have for this year.
Okay. We have on the phone Marco, who is the general manager of the Crosswood Cinemas up by the Marcus Crosswood Cinemas up by the Josephinum. Marco, are you there? Hello, Marco. Nope. Not yet. Okay, well, we'll come back. They are doing some sensory-friendly performances that will, or showings of screenings, and I know about that because a number of charter schools for autistic children have, I guess, asked for that to happen, and this theater was very responsive in doing so. They are also at an early time of day, so kids aren't... The anticipation is sometimes hard for our audiences. If you say we're going at 4 o'clock and the kid is up at 9 in the morning, they get nervous. They get scared waiting for it. When people come into your theater, when kids come in, are they friendly? Are they up for it, or are they a little timid, or what really are you seeing?
We see a variety. That's why we want to make sure that the parents as well as the child knows what to expect and they're familiar with the theater so that they won't be overwhelmed. And we try to do everything that we can to make it comfortable for them. And I want to mention myself, I'm a parent of a daughter on the spectrum, and she has had the opportunity to experience some of the movies shown at the Crosswood Cinemas. I think it's great.
Tell me a bit, before we go to break, tell me a bit about Mr. Goldsmith, William Goldsmith, because he really was the founder of children's theater, at least in Central Ohio.
Oh, he's wonderful.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
He is, like I said, this is our 50th anniversary, and Bill has been with the Columbus Children's Theater for almost 25 years. You can expect a lot of exciting things that unfortunately, I can't share now, but I'll just say that we are growing, and you can look for bigger things happening in the near future with the Columbus Children's Theater.
For all kinds of audiences.
For all kinds of audiences.
When we come back, we'll continue this conversation. We've got some people, I think, holding on the phone. We've got some emails coming in, and we'll get to that shortly. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Weekend. We are talking about accessibility in the arts. If you'd like to join us, please call 292-8513. There are a couple of lines open. I sound like a knife salesman on TV when I say that. And we will be back shortly. Don't go away. Thank you. We're back for our final segment in our talk today about accessibility in the arts and sensory-friendly performances with Aaron Hoppe of VSA Ohio and Tony Johnson of the Columbus Children's Theater. And we have now, I think, on the phone, Marco from Crosswood Cinema. Marco, you there? Hello, Marco. Marco? Hello, Marco. Okay, I'm not getting Marco. Well, if he were here, he would tell us all about, as I said, the showings at Crosswood Theater. And I'm pretty sure, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure that a number of cinemas in this area are doing the same thing. They may pick a Saturday morning at 11 o'clock and have a, you know, an age-appropriate film with the lights not quite down so much, with the volume turned down. And again, you're welcome to run around and sort of, you know, make noise if you have to do that. I made the mistake a couple of years ago of taking a bunch of kids to a Columbus Symphony dress rehearsal. And I should have known better, but it was a long a long deal, and I had them sitting close to the orchestra so they could see the instruments. Well, you can't expect them to just sit there. It's very uncomfortable, and it was very loud. So now we go up to the very, very back of the Ohio Theater, and we run around. I mean, if they don't disturb anybody, if they have to run, if they have to do jumping jacks, but they do listen to the music, and they are, you know, I have seen people stop, kids, stop whatever they were doing and just become physically still and connected. So whatever we're all doing is working wonderfully for this. We have a call from Stu in German Village. Hi, Stu.
Yeah, hey, Christopher. I mean, my general thinking about this, you know, I think what you're talking about, you can sum it up, and things are too frenetic. You know, they're just too frenetic. There's just too much going on at one time, and it's hard to take in. It's hard to take in for you older people. But, and the thing is,
go ahead. Okay, sorry, we lost Stu. Sorry about that. I'm going to try and see if... Marco? Marco, you there?
I am.
Hi, Marco.
Yep.
How are you? Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
Marco is the director of the Crosswood Cinema. Tell me about what's going on with your showings for the sensory-friendly showings up there.
Sure, absolutely. So once a month on a Saturday, we do play a family-friendly film, and the environment is... kind of designed to, you know, be enjoyable for families that might have family members that, you know, need a sensory-friendly environment. So we do turn the volume down a bit so, you know, the sound's not blaring in your ears. We do also bring the lights up so that, you know, it's not pitch black or pretty close to that in the auditorium. And it really just kind of started as a way to allow families, you know, an opportunity to come out and, you know, have a late morning or early afternoon where they could do something and, you know, maybe not worry about, you know, causing any distractions for other moviegoers.
I've made the point before that it's easier on parents when you sort of think, don't, as Tony said, don't worry about it, you know, just
absolutely,
let them run around. Are the kids allowed to wander if they need to? Because it's hard to get them to sit there.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And what's great is, you know, everyone in the auditorium, there's kind of a mutual understanding that, you know, everyone that is in the auditorium, all those families have someone that has, you know, needs some special accommodation. So there's a really awesome kind of sense of community that, you know, you don't have to worry about, you know, someone getting upset because, you know, a child needs to get up and walk around or say something out loud and cause a disruption. So it's great that, you know, everyone is understanding what's actually going on in the auditorium.
Movies can be very loud, and you mentioned you turned the sound down a little. How little is a little?
Generally, it's about 25% we come down, and obviously we have, you know, staff members in the auditorium once the movie starts to kind of gauge whether or not we need to raise it back up or take it down even further. You know, we do wait for cues as well from our guests, you know, if they, you know, seem to be not enjoying the sound level where it's at, we'll obviously adjust on the fly. But to start with, we usually take it down about 25%.
Well, terrific. To remind people where you are.
Sure. We're at 200 Hutchinson Avenue on the north side of Columbus, right off of 23 North exit on 270.
Right near the Josephinum, just past, isn't it?
Correct.
Okay. And when is the next showing?
The next show is going to be on January 18th at 10:30 a.m. It is a showing of The Nut Job.
Oh, well, that works on so many levels. Thank you for that. And just, do you need tickets in advance, or can you just come as you do at the movies, just show up?
You can come and show up as a walk-in guest if you'd like. We do offer reserve seating now in all of our auditoriums. So, you know, we do encourage guests, if you, you know, have access to a computer or a laptop, to log on to our website and purchase your tickets in advance. You can select your seats for exactly where you'd like to sit in the auditorium, but we can accommodate you either way. No problem.
Thank you, Marco Hiella from the Crosswoods Marcus Cinemas up near the Josephinum. Thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. We have a call from Annette in Westerville who wants to talk about these showings. Annette?
Hi.
Go ahead.
Actually, I don't know if the Crossroads manager is still there, but my husband lost all hearing about 3 or 4 years ago, and we experienced just how traumatic that can be. For one thing, we lost the ability to go to movies altogether. And by accident, we found out that Crossroads had installed devices you use for closed captioning.
Right.
And I wanted to tell the manager that you just can't imagine how important this has been to us. I mean, something so simple as an evening out became impossible when he lost his hearing. And as an older adult who has lost his hearing, the chances that he will, you know, learn sign language and move into the deaf world are very small.
Sure.
He lives in the hearing world, and that was very important. I did want to mention, I don't know if he's still listening to this, but there is a device called a T-coil loop, which they can put in public areas that will allow anybody with a hearing aid or a cochlear implant that feeds right into that device. And they can actually hear. They don't have to read the words. They can actually hear it. And I just wanted to throw that in. We have a large deaf community
yeah.
in Columbus, and I just, you know, I would love to see somebody put T-coils in, but for the moment, I'll stick with the closed captioning because it's way better.
Well, now, Annette, let me ask you this. Are you finding it difficult? Is your husband finding it difficult to attend other kinds of arts events besides movies?
Oh, absolutely.
There needs to be more accommodation?
There needs to be more of these T-coil devices.
Okay.
Now, the library at the Park of Roses has a coiled room, a room that they have a T-coil in, and he can actually sit there. Now, he's totally deaf, but he has a cochlear implant, and he can actually sit there and listen to a conversation just like he could before he lost his hearing.
My goodness. Thank you for your call. That's great to know. Thank you, Annette. We appreciate that. 292-8513, if you'd like to join our final minutes of conversation about arts accessibility. If you yourself or a loved one has had an experience that you were missing out something because there wasn't enough accommodation, we don't have to get specifics and point fingers, but let us know that. Let us know also if you are feeling that things are going pretty well, that you're thinking and hearing or seeing things you would not have heard or seen before. Aaron Hoppe is here from VSA Ohio, as well as Tony Johnson from the Columbus Children's Theater. Are you getting the buzz of things changing, Aaron?
I am, and I think that caller's made a great point in that technology has changed the landscape for accessibility. I have not actually heard of the T-coil device. That's very cool.
Yeah.
But whether it be that or whether it be the tablet devices that are particularly used a lot with children with autism and any sort of lots of different disabilities, but the way iPhones and other devices can be used to change the accessibility settings so that communication becomes easier for those nonverbal. It's a great tool for learning. And I think that, you know, makes a difference. And I think something else to really think about is that when you've met one person with a disability, you've met one person with a disability. And we are all individuals. We all have different feelings, emotions, priorities, desires in life, whether or not we have a disability. And so, thinking about an individual when you're making an accommodation or, you know, what accommodation you make for your child is probably different than what might be needed for another child. So there is going to be, you know, trial and error. And this time it worked. And well, let's assess that. And how do we make it better this time? And I think it's a learning experience for everyone involved.
And specifically, you know, one of the reasons we involve children is because it's good for them. They like it. But we want to build new audiences. What is the unofficial cutoff age for your audience, Tony, at the Children's Theater? Your shows are geared to what age group?
Actually, we're all children when we're adults.
Yes, I know that. Everybody who wants to come can
absolutely.
Come.
Absolutely. There is no cutoff age.
But my point is that maybe there needs to be a young adult theater mm-hmm. group that does.
And we have that also.
You do?
Yes,
tell
we
me.
Do.
Tell me.
We have our young adult theater that's actually, you can go on our website to learn more about it at www.columbuschildrenstheater.org. We feel it's our belief that all children should have access to the art through live theater and theater education. Our mission is to inspire, enrich, empower the imaginations of children and families through live theater and theater education.
I do know a lot of organizations have especially recorded synopses of things for the blind. Mm-hmm. You talked about the American with Disabilities Act, which 25 years now?
In 2015.
Which requires mm-hmm. what? Just...
As a non-legal expert, okay. It requires basic rights to physical spaces,
wheelchair ramps, restroom
like
accommodations
right.
that are, yeah. That
if
are...
somebody calls you with a request for an accommodation, you generally need to make that. It also brought in education, the individual IDEA, so that all students have the right to a free and appropriate education. And I think, as we're talking about the future and building arts audiences and building tolerance among audiences, I mean, I think the next generation is a lot, is younger kids. People don't look at people as having a difference
right.
specifically.
Not
and
anymore.
As,
yeah.
Not anymore. And that will make a difference as we see people as people and not, whatever some sort of defining fact, some other factor about them.
So 10 years later, it's now 2024. Right. What do you think where do you think this kind of movement will be?
For the children's theater, as I mentioned before, you're going to have this audience performing and creating and producing. They're going to be really involved. It's not going to be a big deal. It's going to be the norm.
Right. Right. So this kind of, because it's already becoming that, really. We're all used to seeing wheelchair ramps. We're all used to seeing, the accommodations have been there for a while. And I can't imagine anybody would be resistant to it right now. Have you found any kind of resistance, really?
Not at all.
All right. If somebody came to one of your children's theater performances that didn't know it was going to be sensory friendly, they just kind of walked in and put down their money, do you think, would they mind? Would they find it different or...
No, actually,
unexpected.
They can learn from it.
Right, I would think so.
Teachable moments.
Yes.
I walk around life now looking at teachable moments and experiencing it completely differently, the way I think about access.
Erin, as we conclude, I want you to remind us what about VSA Ohio, what it is, and what's coming up.
Sure. VSA Ohio, we work statewide. We work across disability. We work across the lifespan. We work across art forms, so visual, musical, literary. We're trying to start a new partnership with the Ohio Poetry Association.
Oh, tell me about that.
Well, not officially voted, so... check back in a couple months.
Tell me what if yes.
What if the Ohio Poetry Association presented an anthology that was focused on disability and the disability experience? So poets reflecting either as individuals with disabilities or having witnessed somebody with a disability experience something, having that having words talk to us in different ways. And my hope for that is that we also record some of those poems and get those archived in an audio format so that people with different different capacities and abilities can listen to them as well. I would love that. And we are located in downtown Columbus. Our website is www.vsao.org. Our phone number is 614-241-5325. We are always happy to hear from people what their needs are, what they're doing, what they've accomplished, anything that we can pass along and facilitate
Listen,
connections.
Go down there and buy Erin lunch and learn a lot about VSA Ohio. Tony, what's coming up? Remind us about Sunday.
This Sunday at 5 o'clock p.m., our sensory-friendly performance will be The Princess and the Pea.
Is it a musical? I'm sorry to interrupt
No,
you.
It's not a
okay.
musical.
All right.
But it's a lot of audience participation.
Yeah.
And we're located at 512 Park Street, which is in the Short North District. In April, we have another sensory-friendly performance of Hansel and Gretel. That's going to be on April the 27th. And then the last sensory-friendly performance is The Frog Prince. That's going to be on June the 8th. And please give us a call at 224-6672. That's 224-6672. Or visit our website at www.columbuschildrenstheater.org.
Thank you for that. There's a lot of information out there. VSA Ohio is a great place to begin the search for what's out there, what's available for challenged audiences to make sure there's full participation in any of the arts. And if you have an idea, if you have a need, let them know that as well. You already know about the Children's Theater and Wizard of Oz, too, right?
Oh, yes.
Let's talk about that just briefly.
Save the date for April the 10th to the 20th, and it's going to be at the Lincoln Theater.
And I'm the Scarecrow, so don't miss
it.
Oh, yeah. I thank you both very much, Erin Hoppe, VSA Ohio, and Tony Johnson from the Columbus Children's Theater. Thank you for your great work. It's inspiring others to go ahead and do the same. Thank you all for listening. I'm Christopher Purdy for All Sides Weekend. Thank you, Amy Jurevich. Good afternoon.